The flood has continued to ravage communities, cause havoc. In fact, we have one of the presidential candidates still, you know, traveling through, visiting various states that are largely impacted. It was recently in Bayelsa State as well. In the midst of all of this, individuals, some corporate organizations, a few multinationals, at least one that I know of, have lent their voice, showed their support in this time of need to ensure that we help people who have been affected by this disaster. But one major question we need to ask is the living conditions of these people, their health standards, in the camps that they're even kept in, how safe, how standard are these camps? Well, this conversation we'll be having and more this morning. And I have two fantastic young men that would be helping me with. Yes, I don't want to call you guys old. I deliberately said young men. Okay, one person already introduced himself. So I might just go ahead with it. Dr. Intia, you're welcome. Good morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, Dr. Intia perhaps doesn't want me to call him young. But yeah, young at heart.
Indeed.
Okay, young at heart, but old in
everything else.
Everything else. You're welcome, Dr. Intia, once again. And also we have Dr. Biaye Rena Briggs, is also a Rotarian. You're welcome. Good morning.
Thank you, Andrew, for having me.
So basically, gentlemen, the conversation is largely on the well-being of the people, their health status in those IDP camps, and not only that, we've had conversations with the people in the camps. I even spoke with the traditional ruler, His Royal Highness Felix Otuwaekpo for the Auda Axis Ekpe, and he gave insight as to what the condition is and how people are living and the donations that are being made and what angle and directions the donations should be made. We'll just listen to him shortly and then we continue with our conversation. Let's listen to His Royal Highness Felix Otuwaekpo.
Health situation in the camps. How is the condition like and what is needed?
Actually, the camps are in their need of medical doctors and other health professionals. Because of the environmental condition of the camps, the crowdiness, the grasses here and there, and so many factors, and given the fact that most of the internally displaced may have come to the camp with different health conditions, you know, so there is need for health professionals to move in immediately to attend to the IDPs. It's very, very important.
Are there any facilities available at the moment?
No, for the camp at Edoha in Okata Kingdom, the outgoing Commissioner of Police, you know, graciously approved some police doctors who attended to the IDPs for 2 days. They would have continued, but they were short of drugs, and so they had to return.
What about donations? Supplying the drugs? The items being donated?
No, organization has supplied drugs. No organization has supplied drugs. But the 7 days Adventist Relief Agency visited us this morning on kind of fact-finding, and the issue of drugs was one of their key areas they intend to assist. And so we are hoping that in no distant time, the Adventist Relief Agency will provide some health, you know, material. But on the interim, we expect that, you know, health professionals, these are periods that health professionals should volunteer their services. We belong to a society where people find it difficult to volunteer their services. We cannot expect, you know, government to do everything for us. This is an emergency. And so they don't need to be paid for, you know. Let them volunteer first.
And some reports are saying that some victims in the camps lost their lives. Can you clarify that situation for us?
No, the issue of loss of life was not in the camp. For the Opata area, a woman in her house, she refused to move to the camp, but the water flooded her house, her compound, and she managed, because the house was somehow on the highland, and she had twins. So one of the twins fell into the water. In an attempt to save that child, she too, you know, got drowned, and then the child eventually also died, you know. And so we, when the report came to us, we sent the committee to move after discussing with the family, because there was nowhere to even bury her. The burial ground is flooded, so we asked the committee to move her corpse to, we assisted the committee to move her corpse to the mortuary for the meantime. And then the other case was at Ekata community. That particular case was, you know, we had town criers, you know, who went around the community asking the people to evacuate. We sent canoes to those communities begging the people to evacuate. And some of them were, you know, were not willing to evacuate. And then the woman was sick. And by the time she decided to evacuate, it was too late, you know. And she eventually died. She too has been moved to the mortuary.
Okay, gentlemen, we heard from His Royal Highness Felix Otuwariekpo. I actually meant Opata Kingdom, not Ekpeye. So Ekpeye people, please, apologies for the mix-up. But now into the conversation, Dr. Intia, let's start with you. You heard him. And this is a time where you expect doctors to be, well, available. We know we have the Red Cross, and but then to volunteer. Yeah. Why is the situation as it is? Why are we not seeing that level of commitment?
Volunteerism.
As well?
I think one of the things that is missing in the conversation is the platform. How do you organize volunteers? I tell you, it's not a lack of willingness of people to, you know, offer for service, but I can't just drive up to Opata Kingdom and show up and say, hey, I'm a doctor. That's not the best way to do this. For example, if there's a platform, I mean, Rotarians, for example, have been historically known for, you know, coming in just some really, really unique and special ways, and they really, really had a lot of penetration. But you need many organizations like that, because you just can't left for Rotary alone to do stuff like that. And put it on a platform. If you want to volunteer, please put your name here. Here's your position. Some of them might ferry them there. This is how it's organized. Drugs, for example, you know, how do you put all that together? Because you can't just show up, you know.
Whose responsibility is it to do this organization?
At this time, I'm not even interested in whose responsibility it is, but it is important that, you know, for example, you have NEMA battling with the main sort of thing, you know, the flood and nuclear famine and all of that, and they're all doing the best they can. But in that system, because this volunteerism and response is practically the last line of response, so to speak. I don't begin to want to go to whose responsibility that is, but the people who are organizing this, the government side of things and all of that, should be clear, because you want people to be able to come and give them the opportunity to be able to give services. If you don't make that possible, then no matter how they organize, I mean, you're not even rich, you can go in and just do it like that. You have to talk to the guys who actually run the government side of things.
But then we need that. That's the reason why there has to be a figure, somebody to organize, because if we don't have that, it's
difficult. I don't want to finger point. It's too bad. My guys went there yesterday. It's really dire. It's a complete disruption of life as you know it in those areas. And you can sit here and it's nice and bright and sunny, but you honestly don't understand how much trauma those who have not very little options, you know, are facing out there. So at this point, I'm just listening to the Royal Highness right now. I'm thinking, as I leave here, I'm going to just go back and maybe talk to a couple of people in the enemy, for example. Like, isn't there something that we can begin to say, hey, we're available here. Can anybody enable?
But the last time I spoke with him, he talked about a committee that was set up. That was the one by the state government. Okay. Has there been, perhaps if doctors were to meet, maybe the NMA were to meet with the committee and have a conversation as to how can we come in, how can we show support, not just for the IDP camps in the other axes, there's the other areas, the Orashi region as well, that are really affected, and many other communities in Rivers State. Is that something that should be done?
That is the next, that is the crucial immediate next step. Collaboration. Competence is here, need is here, enablers are here, and if those three don't come together, you don't get action, organized action that's effective at the front line.
All right, quickly, Dr. Briggs, to you now. He talked about the fact that we've seen donations, we've seen individuals, we've seen some organizations. I haven't really seen multinationals, although when I spoke with him, he mentioned only one company, and we have loads of companies within this region who are doing business here and making a lot of money, and you would expect some of them even operating and getting their resources from those areas that are now affected by the flood. So the least anybody would expect is you give back to these communities in this time where it's most needed. But we haven't seen that happen for most of them, except for one. I don't want to mention the name. And secondly, he talked about how most of the donations have been food items majorly, and people haven't taken time to look at other areas. And you heard him mention drugs. There were lots of other things he talked about. We know we have women who need sanitary pads and many things. Is there a way this thing is being done for donations? You're a Rotarian. When you do these sort of things, how is it done? Do you first go there, look at what they need, or you just go with anything you have?
Okay, firstly, I'm the polo chair of Rotary Club of Port Harcourt Echo, which is a cause-based club generally involved in anything that has to do with the environment. So that's why we're very much interested in the flood events that are going on right now. And on Saturday, we're at the same Edoha community and we give some relief materials. And I can tell you that it's nowhere near, it will not even scratch the surface with respect to their need on ground as we speak. And then we've launched a move where people can make donations, contributions, and then we go for second and subsequent trips to, you know, give relief materials. Having said that, I am aware that the Nigerian Medical Association in River State is making plans to go for a 3-day medical outreach in all the affected areas. So there's a plan going on. Today, I think the AGM is starting. Okay, and one of the things they are launching is to call for support, financial support. So there are moves on the ground to ensure that medical outreaches are done there, you know, because we know the implications of this flood on the health of the people. All right, very soon, if care is not taken, we are going to be seeing outbreaks, but we'll get to that. And then I got a call last week from a friend who made some calls in Lagos, and some medical supplies are being supplied, and I'm to run that thing, and I'm very sure that I will reach out to my colleagues, and I think people will volunteer and will go there and do the little we can, because like I've been in your sister stations, and I've called for collaboration. It's not something that only government can do, and it's not the time for us.
So why do you think
apportion blames to government and all that? Everybody
has to be on deck. It's similar to what we have in the COVID time. It had to take the government. I mean, the governor, I remember, specifically started mentioning names and companies and saying, you've been getting money from us, you've been working, you've been doing this, now it's time for you to do something. If we look at the situation now, not to sound like we want to call out these companies, but is there a particular reason why there might be delays? I don't know if you've reached out to any. Have you reached out to any? And what has been the response? How are they looking at coming in to support this so people can have some sort of any form of life that's sane at the moment?
As a club, we do not have the authority to compel people. It's a volunteerism thing. Something people want to volunteer, whether individuals or corporate organizations. Okay, but we feel that every responsible organization, be it corporate organization, religious organizations, good spirited individuals that are seeing what is happening on ground, should be prompted to do something to help. And that's why we are here. You know, we are doing what we can and we continue to do, but we still call on people that no matter what we do is not enough because of the need that is there. Because adequate preparations were not made on time. In fact, there was no preparation at all. We've had this flood issue in 2012, and then we didn't learn any lessons from there. We heard that warning signs were given, and then nothing was done until now. Even now that we are speaking, there is no coordinated response from the part of government to ensure that we bring to the barest minimum the impact of the flood.
All right, Dr. Briggs, you just brought me to my next question. First on Facebook, join the conversation at Nigeria Info PH. We have a question up there for you and we need you to react to it. With the current condition of flood victims, will you say we really have IDP camps? The next question would be what an IDP camp should look like and what it should contain. Dr. Entia, you're going to answer that for us. So react to that for us. On Twitter, we're also live at Nigeria Info PH. Let's get your comments. Let's hear from you what you think about the IDP camps. When you look at the current situation of flood victims, would you say we really have one? Dr. Entia, what should a camp be like, and do we have one?
So ideally, a camp is a temporary abode that insulates you from that trauma, that danger that you are escaping from, as it were. In this instance, it's flood, so you really want it ideally to be on a high ground. You want it to be dry. You want it to be able to be spacious enough to accommodate numbers of people that fast, you know, facilities can contain, and you want it to be resourced enough so that it doesn't become perhaps even worse than where they're escaping from. And what that is the point that Dr. Briggs just made about planning. Frankly, every year there is some level of flooding. Every single year, this is the worst since 2012, so it's the worst for a decade. But the warning signs were there, they were all of that. And when we come talk about IDP camps and this problem, it's the last line of response. There are structural things to have done to obviate this way ahead of the curve.
What kind?
We have this year's flood, as it is said, you know, before we have Lagbo Dam in Cameroon, that's fine, that's almost a constant every year. But you've got Jos Mambila Plateau, the rains were predicted, they were rising, the winds were higher and all of that, so you knew that sometime it was going to give. Now, what do we have reservoirs in that track down? We know this is going to get worse. And by the way, with the climate situation, it will worsen as the years go on. And remember, this is not just happening just to Nigeria. It's a big, big, big thing. So there are country level interventions you must be thinking of first, you know, to help reduce this thing as you come down. Do we need a reservoir in that path that's coming down? Do we need a dam? Do we need more levees? Do we need more dikes? Do we need all of those kind of things must be happening pre all of this. And that, you know, and then you come, IDP's response, his last line response, like, it must happen first.
It seems to be like our first now.
Unfortunately, it's the only thing everyone's focused
on. But then when you look at it, does it even meet the standards of what an IDP camp should be? If so, it looks like our first line of action right now.
And that's only because we failed to do what we should have done.
Okay. I mean, sure.
And then, you know, in this flood disaster that we are currently experiencing, I refuse to believe that it's as a result of climate change. Please, I don't want to be involved in that conversation. Okay, because
but whether you like it or not, climate change plays a role.
We have more
water now.
He has said it that every year we have floods. Okay, there are flood-prone areas. Mm-hmm. Even little or moderate rainfall can cause just a minimal flooding.
Flash floods.
We do not see the level of death and destruction of lives and properties and livelihoods as we see in this case, as we saw in 2012. And the reason is that Cameroon opens their dam every 10 years. The last time they opened their dam was in 2012, and we had flood. If you look at the history,
in a big way, because we've always had flood, but it's usually bigger when the dam is open.
Exactly, the one that gets everybody talking, everybody involved. As we speak, over 1,000 people have died due to the floods. Okay, so what was it that should have been done? We should have built our dam. In 1977, when Cameroon wanted to build a Lekdo Dam, they called Nigeria to build a counter dam. They started the dam, they abandoned it. And that dam was supposed to be 2.5 the size of that of Cameroon. So if the excess water is being released, it would have been contained by the flood. That is the first preventive measure that would have been taken. Of course, if you know the management of flood, it has four levels: prevention, preparedness, response, and recovery. Mm-hmm. Now, we didn't do prevention. We weren't prepared.
I'm scared for recovery already.
Now, we are talking about response. And even the response that we are supposed to be, you know, swift about is rather too slow. Mm. And it has led to preventable and avoidable deaths of our citizens.
Gentlemen, we have a short commercial in the next few seconds. We'll go on it when we come back. The phone lines will open. The conversation continues. You've said a lot about the IDP camps. Should we have permanent IDP camps built? Well, we'll find out when we return what you think about that. Meanwhile, react to the comment on Facebook at Nigeria Info PH. Will you say we really have IDP camps when you look at the current conditions of the flood victims at Nigeria Info PH? Send questions and reactions to WhatsApp on 0809-030-6416. We'll be right back.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackers.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
We're back and we're live, Facebook and on Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. Let's hear from you. Drop those comments. Tell us what you think. When you look at the current condition of flood victims, will you say we really have IDP camps? My guests in the studio, Dr. Ntia and Dr. Briggs, have been giving their opinion on what an actual IDP camp should look like and what it should contain. Now, you put that side by side with what we have, would you say that we are doing well? Let's find out from you. We'll open the phone lines now and get your reactions. 0817-923-0002. 0817-923-0002. You can also call us on 0817-923-0003. Again, 0817-923-0003. Those are the numbers for you to call to be part of the conversation. Hello, good morning, Nigeria Info.
Yeah, good morning, Ifeanyi Andrew.
You're welcome. Your name, please?
Okay, my name is David West, and I'm calling you from the city of Yenagoa.
Go ahead.
Well, for me, let me restrict myself to the location where I am, because I have not seen the IDP camps in the affected local government areas in River State. I have not seen them. Do I see the detail of them on TV? But I don't want to talk on that aspect. But let me restrict myself to Yenagoa. I think that mission was, I'll tell you, government is not really prepared, as far as I'm concerned, for natural disasters. Because this warning has been out there, but the state government over here showed the lackadaisical attitude. You can imagine, at this high floor, that is when government is telling you they are going to look for swamp boogies in Port Harcourt. Meanwhile, the roads are cut off. It is by this time, government is telling you they are going to look for where to buy food items to give to IDPs, that because of Port Harcourt has cut off in Yenagoa, data were cut off, so materials cannot come in. Government is not thinking of how to use that. Is it not funny? And when I visited the IDP, we have just one IDP camp officially here in Yenagoa, at the Oxford Lake. You are used to Yenagoa, the capital city, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You will not tell somebody at the Bogene or Akensa to travel to Oxford Lake because it's an IDP. It's not possible. Government should think. I got there, no good medical facilities. The people are sleeping with masks. It's not supposed to be like that.
The governor visited. I know the governor visited. David.
IDP camps for emergencies.
David, can you hear me?
For emergencies. It's not when at the heat of it, a fire brigade approach, we want to do that. And in the midst of this fire brigade approach, that is when people embezzle money. Once again, my name is David West. Thank you.
Thank you very much, David West. We'll get to react to some of the things he said. Hello, good morning, Nigeria Info. Hello, good morning, Nigeria Info.
Good morning.
You're welcome. Your name, please?
Chinke Daniel Imogeto Zako.
All right. Go ahead.
Well, to answer your question, Nigeria, we are not near getting what we call IDP camp. From what I heard from your guest, a lot of things, government has to take responsibility for its citizens. But what we are hearing, even some of the donors, they are not even reaching the people. Because for me, to assess them even is another thing. Now, if you are asking if permanent ID camp should be set up.
Hello. Hello, Chike, can you hear me? All right, I think we lost that call there. Chike, please do all to call us back if you can. Okay, we have issues with the service providers is what it looks like. All right, let's get back to a conversation in the studio. In Bayelsa State, I know that the governor visited, and I saw he was walking around at the Osbo Lake, and people were on the floors and on mats, and my thought was perhaps swift action would be taken, but our caller has just said, well, it doesn't seem that way. And somebody also mentioned that what we're suffering now is as a result of failure of governance over the years. If at this time we can't find a swamp boogie in Bayelsa State, shouldn't that tell us how the economic condition of the state is, not to be able to find a swamp boogie that you can use to do your operations? Dr. Entia, I'll just allow you look at the condition and the situation now. What approach can we take? We have seen all of these government officials visit, pictures on social media of them walking in the flood and all of these. But it seemed like we are not getting the kind of speed what that an emergency requires.
So, you come back to Dr. Briggs' four steps. We've lost prevention, right? Didn't do anything there. We've lost preparation. We didn't prepare. We had response. But the kind of response, there's a way you can go about firebrand response, blitzkrieg. So you can say, look, we are in this, we're in this together. Don't put layers. Don't, and you can draw everyone in. In a way, when it came to COVID, I think everybody realized just how bad it was and how nobody had the real answer, and everybody sort of, after a while, came together for a bit. And I think it's the kind of thing, you talk about the multinational companies, sometimes it's also, where can I credibly put my support and know that it would get the kind of desired outcome? Because we know, you can talk about that, some things get given, they don't get there. And, location where I work, for example, we are not donating individually to add to the company response.
Because of the corruption involved, people could sign for the money.
It has to be transparent, because remember, all of them are audited at very high levels and all of that. You can't just throw it just because of sentiment. And all of them are used to a structure. So if you provide a structure, then it becomes easier. And that's what helped COVID. After a while, there was a clear structure, so you could key into that, and everybody was able to see it. It was a little bit transparent, and that was helpful. Now with this, there's almost no time to respond. Things like even blankets, imagine how many people die from temperature, just hypothermia, and all of that. Just the kids, the vulnerable ones, the elderly and the children. Do you even have, look at mats on the floor? First of all, that means it's colder. Mm-hmm. How do you have blankets for everyone? Do you have things like that? And then I want to talk about thermal blankets, the ones that you ideally should have in an ID pickup. Yeah. Let's talk about regular, these gray ones are in the market. You used to go to secondary school and all of that. Stuff that people can wrap up around and just have, shield them from the conditions. How much more the diseases that we know are prevalent in the camp? Cholera, for example, it's going to hit them really hard. Because water just brings fecal matter with everything, and that's what's available to them. Do you have proper pipe-borne water in these places? It's a major challenge.
Even the groundwater gets contaminated in situations like this.
Yeah.
So even the water from the ground is not safe anymore for consumption.
So should we consider building a permanent camp? Since we know that we're going to have these issues every now and then, shouldn't we have a camp with these facilities built? Like, for instance, we have the NYC camp. I was making an example to that. I said, look at the NYC camp. You know it's a camp. You have the medical facilities, places where the restrooms and all that you could use for proper hygiene, some form of feeding mechanism as well. Should we begin to think about building permanent camps for IDPs so that in situations where it becomes not preventable and eventually happens, we can move people there easily and it's easy to coordinate?
We should not build a permanent IDP camp. We should prevent the floods from happening ab initio, so that if we can successfully prevent the floods from coming, then we wouldn't need IDP camps in the first place. Okay? Then we should prepare. What can we do in preventing? We build complete dams, dredge our rivers, shoreline protection, okay? And then early warning signs, so that we evacuate people before even the floods come. Because the floods, you just don't wake up and see floods. There are appropriate technologies, even in civilized societies, they can predict volcanoes, typhoons, tsunamis, and all that, so that the loss of life and property can be reduced as to the lowest minimum. All right? So, yes, we should build, but that should not be the first line. That's what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong in having an IDP camp. That is when all your prevention and preparedness have failed, then there needs to be an IDP camp and properly set up. He had talked about placing it in higher grounds, evacuating people there. Proper documentation in every camp, there should be proper documentation as to the number of persons there, the capacity that that particular camp can carry. If it's 1,000 people, you know that 1,000 people are in this camp. 100 are females, 300 are males, 700 are children. Okay, amongst the females, how many are pregnant?
Because it looks like what we have are people. People just moved and made camps for themselves. In some cases, it's almost like people just moved and went to a school, moved and went to an open space, or moved and then the government comes and says, "Oh, we have to provide these things for you here."
But that's what happens because there's a vacuum.
Let's hear some of the callers, Dr. Briggs, just because we're running out of time very fast. Nigerian, good morning. We've lost that call too. Okay.
So there needs to be provision of water, not from within the flooded area, from outside, okay? Like pure water sachet or bottled water from outside, ready to eat food, place to sleep, good sanitary conditions where they can go and use the restroom and all that. That's the only way that we can bring to the barest minimum the outbreak of any likely infectious diseases like cholera, the diarrhea, typhoid fever, malaria, and all that within the camp.
All right, Meshack is on the line. Meshack, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, FMA and your guest. A good one. I am really happy for your contribution this morning. Misha Kuyi is from Ahoda West, an internally displaced person, as I speak. My community is still underwater, a community of over 3,000 persons, completely submerged. Now you can imagine the humanitarian crisis that is going on in that community. Unfortunately, like your guest has mentioned, Nigeria and indeed the state and local governments, and if you like, the communities have adopted the wait and see approach. I wouldn't blame the communities so much because even the government do not even trust their own statistics. One of your guests did mention that Cameroon releases water from the Lagdo Dam every 10 years. No, it's not every 10 years. I'm an environmentalist. They release every year, or they inform Nigeria before they do. This year's level has been so much, hence it's overflowed. It didn't make news. Last year, NIMET also warned that people should move. 2020, they also warned that people should move. Because it didn't happen in 2020, because it didn't happen in 2021, you can imagine people felt, oh, let's wait and see if it will happen this year, and they were completely cut off. Part of government, like you've mentioned, the prevention measures, the preventive measures are not there, completely not there, no dams, no buffer dams, no dike, nothing. The preparedness also was not there because we were not prepared, caught nothing, including the state and local government, and even the people caught nothing. And the response was shambolic for the new jack approach, which is what is just happening, like you.
All right, Meshack, we have to just move on to another caller because we're running out of time. Litambari from Bori, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Lipie, me, Andrew.
You're welcome.
Yeah. It is a pity, and it is very disheartening that things are happening in our society in this way. If you mean, I realize that the white men, when they want to acknowledge new ideas, they travel to the moon. We blacks, when we want to, get new ideas, we travel to Europe. I thought maybe that traveling brings more idea and the way those people develop their areas. And to make us to be very wise how to plan against our life and our environment. But you can see that the white men travel to the moon, they bring latest development, new ideas, and go well.
Alonso, if you can hear me, can you please just go straight to the point?
European,
we don't have a lot of time.
To get ideas and come back without impacting nothing to our people.
All right, Alonso.
This whole victim, this whole flood situation, we are being alerted to us.
All right,
and why is it that it is now that we'll start donating millions and billions when we do not have enough land to even plan? Now, you look at the level of disease and contact.
All right. Thank you very much. We don't have a lot of time. We have to let you go now. I think you exhausted all of the time explaining how people went to the moon to get ideas. But we clearly understand what you're saying. We have our leaders who travel abroad and see how things are done. Denmark, the Netherlands, some of the countries that are below sea level, and we see how they still make the economy thrive. Venice, it's basically boats, houses on water, but then they live very fantastically fine. I look at Bayelsa State and I said, this should be the Venice of Nigeria. Mm-hmm. If well organized, but then this is where we are. It's really painful. We'll take a few comments on Facebook. Thank God Ability says IDPs tend to experience worse health outcomes than other conflict affected populations. I commend the state governor for donating the money for the IDPs in River State. Chigozie Alozie says there is zero attention to health care of flood victims. Secondly, IDP camps where victims are does not meet the criteria and standard of a camp. Some are secondary school buildings now converted to IDP camps. I don't subscribe to the idea of building a permanent IDP camp because the IDP camp is not the solution to end the annual flood devastation. Noah Mene says, greetings to you and your guest. Government is not prepared for natural disasters as this. It's pretty sad. We're talking about lives of people. No good water supplies at the camp. Okay, more messages to take. This one from Avigian says, good morning. In Aoda, local government area, there is no IDP camp anywhere, especially here in Joint Karma. Politicians are playing politics over the lives of the masses. We're sleeping on the road while some sleep in inside the room filled with water. Similar situation in Bayelsa State where people are sleeping in keke on the roads because they can't get to the one place that is supposed to be an IDP camp that might not have... we don't have a lot of time, gentlemen. This conversation will go on and on and on. But for now... because of the health of these people, Dr. Inti, I'll start with you. Let's just get your final thoughts first. What can be done in 1 minute? How can we prevent an outbreak?
I think first of all, you talked about the agents that need to do that. That is true. And then the fact that we need to get enable the guys who have the skills, if you like, who are prepared to volunteer that for free, and then give them the resources. So meds, all of that, people who can talk to someone from Lagos and all that. Get all that organized together. Everybody, forget about your interests, forget about your own credibility or your popularity or PR and all of that. Just get in there, let it be. Once it's organized, it's a bit better. And it can get where it needs to get, you know, where the real needs are and what is needed is already clear and all of that. That collaboration has to happen as an emergency. Frankly, you know, which is why I said, I'm just going to check with my guys.
Yeah, like, you already mentioned
how far
that.
That's good because I just keep me like, oh no, I haven't heard on our platforms the specifics, you know, of the plan. But I'll check it. I know they're quite busy to do the transition. So I think that's the best number one emergency. There are some key things that will always happen in camps. You will have cholera, you will have typhoid, you have hepatitis, you would have some key things you will always expect in a camp of this nature from flooding. And then the other things about structural things like, I know, for temperature support, warm blankets and all of that, you know, then, you know, white spins, nutrition and all of that. Key things to go through and all of that. That must
malaria as well.
Malaria happens because, again, of course, with the flood and the swamp and all of that, you're going to get lumps.
Dr. Briggs, what do you think? How can we prevent and what sort of angles should we be looking at now to before making donations?
Okay, now we need a coordinated, like he said, Dr. Inte said.
In 1 minute.
Okay. We need to coordinate, okay? And the government needs to come in handy in this regard where there's coordinated contribution in terms of donations from people, corporate organizations, and then move to the points of needs and then putting in place the right expertise. If it's the medical part of it, getting the doctors, nurses, laboratory scientists so that everything is properly coordinated and then taking them. And then the communities too must also know that one of the major problems of flooding is the medical emergencies that can arise or outbreaks. So there should be a medical committee, people that are medical inclined in the health sector, so that once my club wanted to send some medicines, and I had said, who are you going to give it to? Who can properly administer this medication? So you want to go and solve a problem and then you give it to the wrong persons and they go and cause a disaster. So there needs to be proper coordination.
Time already
community
out
members
of our hands.
And government and other.
Thank you very much, Dr. BAA. Briggs is a Rotarian as well. Every organization should come together. Thank you also very much, Dr. Nsika Akintia, for your time and for being on the show this morning. We hope that you get back to your people and your people get back to the people and you guys visit these camps and also talk to your Rotary people and other humanitarian organizations that need to do something, do it now. My name is Ifeemi Andrew. Thank you for being with us. We'll discuss more angles to this tomorrow. Jude comes on next.